You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to KD Video with the K-A-D-I video. My favorite part of her interview was talking about the absence of the Butterball Cenobite in the new Hellraiser movie on Hulu. I didn't see him on there. Thanks for tuning in. Love y'all. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast, KD Video. And that's, hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
That's a K-A-D-I.
Yes, K-A-D-I.
KD Video with the D. I'm going to just throw you a curveball off top because I see all the horror movies. We're going to get to the VHS. I really thank you for bringing those.
No problem.
What are your thoughts on Hellraiser, the newest Hellraiser on Hulu?
Ooh, okay.
I have a few things to say.
Yeah, where do I start with
this one? I like your honesty.
Okay.
But we were both looking forward to it.
I was so looking forward to it.
You saw the trailer and you got goosebumps.
I just saw the fact that it was a pinhead. I saw Pinhead and I was like, yes.
That's the one thing I did like about it. I like that. That's a good part of the movie.
Yeah. It's like I had to see it because of that. And I remember when, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I was really frightened as a child by the Hellraiser posters.
We all were.
So I wanted to see it just for that alone.
I still love that movie. I love the original.
Me too.
The Cenobites were great.
Yes.
And that was the main problem I had with this damn remake.
Yeah.
Or a new interpretation.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that. Can I just say, can I want the thing that bothered, when I knew I didn't like it, when I first saw the first two Cenobites.
Yeah.
I saw the first two Cenobites and I go, why?
Yeah.
And that spoiler alert. So stop it now if you don't want us to talk about
definitely,
it.
Definitely
stop it now and then just fast forward 10 minutes into it. You got to add an Asian Cenobite?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, and I'm Asian. It's like, I'm Asian. I love it when they book Asian actors and actresses. But dude, and this is going back to the original. The original Cenobites were white and British. Thank you. It's like let's just keep it. Let's keep that consistent. Go ahead.
All right. Well, the thing that I'll start with things that I thought were decent.
Okay. I like your positivity.
Okay. I thought that there was, from the beginning, some decent characterization going on. Like, character development was going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel
like...
I
can't disagree with you there. Keep going.
And then I feel like that's kind of where it started falling apart. Characterization was there, and then they kind of lacked at any plot.
The storyline bothered me.
Yeah.
It's like the main thing is like, you mean the main... Oh, what's the main character's name, the female? I liked her. She was a good actress. She did a good job.
Yeah.
But then her boyfriend or that.
Yeah. That whole setup.
That setup of how the whole time he knew the art collector and the whole luring him back to the mansion. Yep.
We're going to go to the house now.
And then the mansion had, it was like barbed. There was barbed wire structure. Then there's this sentinel circle kind of like portal thing to
help. And then the tunnel.
And that he's done this several times. What would you give it for, on a scale of 1 to 10, the new Hellraiser?
Okay, I'm going to be brutally honest.
I give it a 4.2 or 3 out of 10.
I was going to give it a 5. I was going to give it a 5 because it's decent. It's just not very good.
Yeah. No, Pinhead was great.
Yeah.
The story was freaking lacking, though.
Yeah, it was going somewhere. I think for the very first like half of it, I thought, okay, maybe it'll turn itself around. But then it just kept hanging. They kept hanging out of the mansion, and it was not. It nothing went anywhere from there.
And
from
I didn't like the how he configured the different the locked doors and the gates in the mansion, and there was foreshadowing because I knew that was gonna play a part in the movie. I'm like, oh, she's learning the configuration of the different trap doors. And you know what? I have to go back to the Cenobites.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing a Hellraiser, especially, it's already established, Clive Barker, we've seen the Clive Barker, we've seen it, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, the other Cenobite bothered me too because it kind of reminded me of like Ridley Scott Alien.
Yep.
Like it looked alien. Yep. Like the look of it was, they tried to really polish it too much and it backfired.
Yeah.
Right?
It did. Because now it was like...
Yeah, that was Eva, the chomp, the tooth guy, the chomper guy. Yep.
And then it was like, are they from hell? Or are they aliens? Because I can't tell now.
Right. That's actually an interesting point. Because that's what I thought too, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, they're coming from the sky.
Yeah.
Not from the ground. Yet, they're when they go down, like when they die, they're being pulled to the ground. But then they come down from the sky. It's like, well, what are we? Right. What are you trying to be?
Because I don't know. I don't think they even know.
Probably
another thing, where my favorite one growing up when we were kids and we watched the original one, what happened to the fat Cenobite? Yeah. You know, the one that looks like from Dune, the Baron Harkonnen? Mm-hmm. That one. Where was that one?
Nowhere to be seen.
Because the original had like four, like, because I Googled it, I'm like, I could have sworn there was a different looking one that they didn't put. These one were pristine, and they were all look fit. And like,
I noticed that. They all look like models.
They all look slender, models, like it was a Victoria's Secret, like gothic runway show. Yeah. It's like, dude, okay, I'll give them this. Pinhead, that was cool. The choice of making it a female, because the voice was a little off too. It kind of scared me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I liked. So I gave it a 4. You gave it a 5?
I gave it a 5 just because I thought that from the beginning with the character development, a few of the characters I thought were kind of developed pretty well. Mm. But then from that, it can't go any higher because it's still a Hellraiser movie and it doesn't. It took itself too seriously for something that should have been a little bit campier.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think about the supporting cast, like the main characters, like her friends that end up being lured back to the mansion? Was it necessary?
It wasn't really necessary. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I felt the connection with the brother, but then with the other roommates and her connection to them, it's almost as though she didn't realize that she kind of cared about them until the end, which is
Are you talking about the main female character's brother, and then the brother had a gay partner too, that they, and then she was sleeping on their couch for that set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And she just didn't feel like she had this connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
And nor did that connection ever develop.
At all.
So at the very end, it's like, oh, now you care about them.
Because they gone missing.
Yeah.
And you're freaking out. And, and you're kind of off your medication. And it's just. Now, let me. I'm going to ask my intern. She's on the other side of the camera. Hearing the last 8-minute, whatever, mini review, are you excited to see it?
No, I didn't like the trailer.
She said no, she didn't like the trailer. She liked the pinhead. Hey, now, yeah. We're going to get to those because those look awesome.
Thank you.
On the flip side, me and my girlfriend, I was in Pennsylvania recently, and we were in the theaters, and we saw a great thriller horror called Barbarian.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh!
I need to. Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
No. I just... Because I was telling my intern about it, we rewatched. She never seen the trailer. It was really refreshing because it's one of those things like the less you know, the better of an experience you'll have. You'll mm-hmm. be like, oh, yeah. Wow, I had no idea it was this. You have to see it. I mean, because
yeah.
I mean, because I could tell you like that genre.
I do.
Now it's one of those things where, how I'm trying to think of something where it's a horror movie. Where it kind of, I don't want to even bring an M. Night Shyamalan, but it is, there is kind of a, you know, like there's a thing, you think it's one way and there's like a twist.
Kind of like, I don't know if you've seen this one yet, but the movie Don't Speak.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, that you one? Need to watch Don't. So Don't Speak, it's a movie where... I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh,
for
I think
you.
I just saw it. Is there a blind man in there?
There is no blind man in there.
Okay, that's it's, a different movie. No, that's Don't Breathe.
Okay.
So there's Don't Speak. No.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. So you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm talking about, right? You're thinking about Don't Breathe. Okay, yeah. So there, it's not Don't Breathe, it's Don't Speak.
No, it's Don't Speak. It's a foreign film, and it starts off seeming like it's a drama film in which they are going on, this family goes on vacation, and they meet this couple.
And what country? Is it Swedish or French?
I believe it's Dutch. I think it's Dutch.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they meet this couple when they go on vacation in Italy. Mm-hmm. And then that couple invites them over to spend a week or weekend with them. And so they go.
But don't you think that's kind of like a large kind of... request?
It is, but
I
mean, it's
I one night is cool, right? If I met a random couple in Italy and they go, hey,
you want to know the creepy thing?
What?
The director actually had something similar to him happen, and so he based this, it's a fictionalized version of some events that happened to him, where he went on vacation and he met this couple, and him and his girlfriend, they went there, and then they were like, okay, something sketchy about this couple. So then he afterwards...
How old were they in the movie? How old was the couple?
Oh, I would say 30s or 40s. And they have a kid.
Was a kid involved in the whole
the
narrative?
Kid, yes, the kid is extremely vital to the entire story.
A vital part of the story.
Yeah, because the other couple also has a kid, and that kid does not have a tongue. Hence, Don't Speak. But I can't tell you much more than that.
Oh, can I ask you kind of questions that aren't going to spoil anything? Now, the house where they invited the good couple mm-hmm. out with the kid without the tongue, was it a remote area?
It's a remote area.
So it's like it's a farm. Isolated. Was it? It's like a farmland area or something.
I don't know if it's farmland there, but I believe there's a lot of farmland in that area.
So there was no neighbors or to alert.
Nobody to hear you scream. Yes.
There's no. So, okay. And then my next question is: Was this kind of like this? Oh, there was this. Was it planned? There's a whole scheme involved.
To
do this to this poor couple and their kid?
Yes.
So it was planned. It was a master plan.
It's a master plan, yes.
And so when you're watching the movie, do you know it right away in the first 15, 20 minutes
no.
of the plot?
Well, you might have like an idea of maybe what could be potentially be happening, but we don't really see anything horror happening until probably the last 15 minutes.
Of the movie?
Of the movie. It is a slow burn.
It's a slow, it's a slow
movie.
Burn. Sorry, I was looking for the word.
Yeah.
So it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn horror.
Slow burn horror. Let me ask you this. What were some of the first indicator when your brain flipped and you're like, there's something not right about this couple and their kid?
So that would be when the kid goes over to the nice father, the kid of the not so nice couple.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes, opens his mouth and he doesn't have a tongue.
Oh, man.
And then you're like, okay, this seems really creepy.
So that was already established. Was that already established at the beginning of the movie, or do you find that out at that moment?
You find out that the kid doesn't speak, that he has an ailment, but you don't really see any like what his mouth looks like until that moment.
So you kind of knew, but you didn't know details of like the details of the medical condition. If he had a tongue, if he didn't have a tongue, half a tongue, you didn't know any of it.
Right.
Ooh, is there a cellar or basement involved? Or an attic?
Actually, I don't think so. And I think that's what makes it even creepier, is the fact that there is no cellar, no attic. And
keep going.
There are a few other creepy things, like the fact that the wife of the good couple, she's a vegetarian, or technically a pescatarian.
Is that vital to the story?
And it's vital to the story because when they go to visit, the very first dish that they make is a meat dish. And the bad... father is like, oh, I forgot that you're vegetarian. Here, try this. It's delicious. And then he insists that she eats it.
Well, that's not cool.
No. So little tiny things like that continuously pop up throughout
the
entire film.
Now, why was he so adamant for this vegetarian to try a meat dish? Why?
I'm just curious. Yeah, we find out later on. It's part of
the story.
Part of the story and part of who he is as a person.
But now, let me ask you this. Is there demonic, like, conjuration, seance, elements, sigils involved?
Nope.
Witchcraft?
Nope. No witchcraft.
No demons?
No
demonic activity?
Nope.
So no witchcraft, no demonic, Satan, there's no possession?
Mm-mm. Just bad people.
All right, let's get. Is it similar to this movie?
No, far from it.
This is a pretty dysfunctional family too.
Yeah, no, it's far from it. That one, that one has a lot more gore in it.
And this is a great. This is done in the 70s. Yeah.
So that one is the remake. It's the new one that came out on Netflix.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yes, I have to.
And this is, I'm not trying to be mean, but I didn't like it.
That is okay.
Did you like it?
I have my opinions and I will keep them to myself. I have spoken with the director, I've spoken with the writer before.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so.
And
so that changes. Hold up. We might have to timestamp that. Holy smokes. So you met them.
Yeah.
You know what? It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay. We'll put this aside. Yeah, check it out on Netflix, everyone. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, everybody has their opinions.
Yeah,
on it,
let's go to the next one.
Okay.
And you brought this as a gift.
Yes, sir.
Thank
it's a gift
so
to
much.
You.
Thank you so much. This is not a remake either, right?
That is the remake. So that's. Technically, Scream.
Where's Drew Barrymore?
So that's Scream 5, which is also called Scream. It's what they called. They called it a requel.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Why all these remakes? Let's come up with an original.
I know.
Let's come up with an original horror story from scratch. Is that so hard to do nowadays?
Probably, yeah. But I also don't mind when they make them from books. If they make them from books, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Did they
as
do
well.
Flowers in the Attic already? Remember that book, Flowers
in the
Attic?
I can't remember if they did.
Okay, so that's okay.
I think that's okay. Like, I know Mike Flanagan, for example, he remakes a lot of classic horror into movies, and he does a fantastic job.
Okay,
with
that's
it.
Fine.
So,
okay, so okay, so this this is basically Scream 5.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, let's keep going.
Oh, also another remake. But
I did like this.
Yes.
You heard me talking about this.
I know you like
dude,
that one. I remember
one,
when you saw it.
This one, dude, there was a couple scenes where I'm like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, the ballerina room and the whole. Yep. And there is a seance kind of, obviously witchcraft.
Yeah,
and,
which is one of my favorite
parts
of
horror
movies.
You've seen The Witcher Man, The Wicker Man, I'm sorry. The Witcher Man, The Wicker Man. Yeah. You've seen The Witch?
I think I can't remember if I've seen it now. Mm-hmm. Probably, but I just have seen so many I can't remember.
And
but
then,
I do want to say that the reason I made that one is because
you
knew.
Made these? You made these.
So I eventually ended up getting them some assistance in getting them printed. But when I first started out, I was folding them and cutting, scoring all
of
them.
So that changes the whole thing. You made these.
When I first started out, well, yeah. And then I kind of found a place that could help me to actually cut, score, print, do all of that. So I wouldn't need to spend as much time doing
rock.
It. Thanks.
DIY, do it yourself. That's punk. Right,
yeah. But
who did the covers in it?
I also did the art.
You did the art?
Yeah.
She drew and did the art.
So I have.
Well, that changes it.
It's a digital process.
But you did it.
Yes.
That's really impressive. Wow. Can people purchase any of this stuff?
They can. Yes, on the website.
Well, let's plug it right now.
So the website is Katie Video, KADI Video. .com.
KADI.
Yeah. KADI video.com.
Dude, that's really impressive.
Thank you.
And then you got to a point where it's like manufactured shrink wrap now.
The shrink wrapping I still do myself.
You do it yourself. So you have a machine?
I know
how that works. I used to work at Amoeba. Yeah. There was one guy specifically that just did shrink wrap.
Yeah.
In the warehouse.
Yeah. So I have one that is like not super high end, but you know, you just have to like fold it. You know, push it down, and then I have a heat gun, and I use
to shrink wrap it. Did you get the edges?
Yep.
No, who does the description too?
I usually get the description from different places like
okay,
IMDb, and then
I make a few little
tweaks here and there.
Dude,
it's
well done. This looks so.
Thank you.
Like, you know what I miss? Mom and Pop.
Same.
VHS.
Same.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like,
I remember
there was
that.
One in my neighborhood. I won't disclose the location, but man, I'd go in there. They would have like. $2.99, $3.99, $4.99, and I would just spend hours in there looking for the deals. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's missing.
I used to go to one of those mom and pop places, and they used to have like a gumball machine.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get a free video if you got a particular color.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to always get the free one, and then they were like, we don't want her coming in here anymore.
Right. And then let's go to this last. Oh, wow.
The last one's Dr. Sleep.
I did enjoy this.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan does a really good job.
I liked it. Now, I'm going to throw you another curveball. So,
okay.
So where are you originally from?
I am originally from Northern Virginia. It's all the way on the East Coast.
I was just in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So that's not Western Virginia.
It's Northern Virginia. It's close to Washington, D.C.
D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
They call it the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
Right.
That's
my
where
girl's
I grew
in
up.
Pittsburgh. So it's pretty common for them to because they're so close to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to my girl and then her mom. Shout out to her, Nancy. Shout out to Nancy. That her and her friend, her friend was actually driving to West Virginia because the cigarettes are cheaper there. So I'm like, oh. Yeah. Isn't that cool? I mean,
I've never been to West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, yeah, that's a whole different.
It's a different state, yeah. Though,
but it's a whole different vibe, too, as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Way different.
Way different, yeah. So, Northern.
There's real Appalachian people. And it's a whole world in itself.
The
dialect's different.
Yeah.
You seen Deliverance? Remember Deliverance?
I do, yeah. Now, Northern Virginia is very It's got the same kind of vibe as DC. It's a bunch of lobbyists and lawyers, politicians, and
are you near Virginia Tech University? Is Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech is a little bit further south.
There's another Virginia school, right? Virginia.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different.
What are the two main ones? Are Virginia Tech and the
Virginia
other
Tech and University of Virginia.
University of Virginia. Yeah. Where is that near? Where
those
you're at?
Are. So University of Virginia is in Charlottesville, which is 2 hours south of where I grew up. Approximately. And then Virginia Tech is a little bit further south than that.
Gotcha. When did you do you remember the first horror movie you saw as a kid and you're like, I like this genre?
It was Scream. The original Scream.
The original.
The original. Really? I remember when it came out on VHS and my father was like, oh, you're gonna watch this, and I was like, that's a scary movie. I don't wanna watch it. And he's like, No, it's more like a whodunit.
How old were you?
Oh, okay. Now I'm really gonna throw
What grade were you?
I think it was sixth grade. Yeah, approximately. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I don't think I want to watch this.
It's more of a slasher movie. When you say it's a slasher,
it is. Yeah, but my father made it out to be more like, oh, it's a mystery sort of thing. That was not a mystery. Yeah. But I watched it and I loved it. And then after that, it was on to I Know What You Did Last Summer. And
I remember that one.
All of these kinds of teenagers killed.
Was she in that one too? No,
it was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer. Yeah. Oh, man. I remember Jennifer Love Hewitt, man.
And then she became a singer too.
Yeah, dude. I had a big, that was a puppy love crush right there. That lasted a while, yeah. That's shout out choice. To Jennifer Love Hewitt, man.
Definitely a good choice.
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Do you remember the first movie that you saw that kind of was like demonic or haunted, like your Amityville Horrors and stuff like that?
Oh.
Conjuring.
I don't remember because... I kind of just started watching little by little, like little pieces of different horror movies. And sometimes I would watch movies without even realizing that there were horror movies. So I don't even know.
Give me an example of that.
Like some of these haunting movies, right? Like whenever, like demonic possession films.
The Conjuring.
Yeah. So it would just be like, oh, okay, I'll watch that. And finding out later, oh, wait, that's technically a horror movie. Or like The Craft, right? Which is,
that one. Yeah, that one kicked ass.
Yeah. And it's like,
that was in the 90s, I think.
It was in the 90s,
Look that up, The Craft.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
But.
Well, they did a seance. Do you remember they did it with their fingers and they... Yep. They kind of levitated. Stiff as a board. What's the saying? Go ahead. Stiff as a board, light as a feather.
Yep.
Stiff as a board, light as a feather. Yeah, and then they did that. Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah.
And that was part of, I think, what got me into witchcraft.
Really?
Yeah.
What are some of your other favorite witchcraft, like witch movies? Carrie? Does that count?
Carrie kind of is.
Right, because she had witch.
She has powers.
She had witch abilities.
Yeah, she has witch abilities. I don't think she's technically a witch, but yeah.
The original was frightening because of Carrie's mother.
Yep.
Because she was so religious.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. Yeah, yeah. And she's so strict.
I felt so bad for Carrie.
I did too. It's not fair. That's the thing is like she was coming of age, and you thought things were turning around for her, and she got nominated homecoming queen. And then they had to spill the pig blood all, you know, and then they set her up.
Yep.
Do you think what she did was justified, what she did to the gymnasium?
I don't know if it was justified just because there could have been a few people in there that may have been innocent.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. But, I mean.
Which character should have got it, though? If we're being selective, which ones deserved it?
Ah, man.
The bullies.
All of them. Every single one of them.
The girls that were, you know, that they were tugging on the rope.
Yeah.
But they deserved it.
You don't
do that.
Yeah. That's right? True. Yeah.
Have you seen a movie called Let the Right One In?
Yes.
What do you think about that? That's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love that movie.
That Swedish movie. I mean, you can't. Ooh, I think that's up there with top 10 in that genre for me.
Yeah.
So good.
I agree.
What'd you like about that one? Let the Right One In. Don't watch Let Me In. I mean, that was decent.
It was decent.
But watch the original called Let the Right One In. The Swedish one.
Yeah, the Swedish one.
Go ahead. I want to know your thoughts on it.
I honestly don't know where to start.
It's just the story.
It is a story. It's super touching. And then I just have like a thing for vampires.
Yeah,
and
me
vampire
too.
Stories in general. So yeah. I there was
no. Are we? How far are we going back? Like Nosferatu or Salem's Lot?
Salem's.
I mean, because we could go far back into that genre.
Yeah.
I just saw Dracula, the one with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder and Anthony Hopkins. I bought it on iTunes.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah. But another thing, what triggered that memory as far as why I brought Let the Right One In when we were talking about Carrie is because
the kid,
the bully, there's a bully element about that one too. And there's revenge kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So Let the Right. Oh, since you brought up vampires, what other, some of the other vampire movies that kind of stand out?
That's not horror, but.
But go ahead.
Oh man, I feel like I'm really gonna out myself on this one. Once Bitten's fun, but there's a bunch of these little like funny ones that are fun.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And I'm not gonna say Twilight. Twilight's okay. It's Interview with a Vampire.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because it's Anne Rice, and I know that there was like a lot of like criticism at times, like especially when Anne Rice was like first came onto the scene, because she changed the way that we perceive vampires.
And that's our first romantic introduction to Kirsten Dunst in a way.
Yeah, because after
she was a girl in that.
So with she was a little girl, and it was also our introduction to Tom Cruise with long hair.
Oh my god.
that long hair.
Yeah. Brad
I love
Pitt
long hair.
And Brad Pitt.
Okay, Brad Pitt looked good with the long hair.
He still looks good. He could do no wrong.
Yeah.
I just saw him in a coffee commercial, some random on, I was watching a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I'm like, usually I get mad at like big time actors doing commercials because it's like they're kind of going backwards.
And he has a
but when I saw him, because he was enjoying his cup of coffee, there's no dialogue, and he did this satisfying, you know, reaction, I go, you know, I can't be mad at him.
Yeah.
Because it's Brad Pitt.
Except he does have a skincare line out now.
Oh, why?
He just decided to get on board with it.
Does he need to do that?
I don't think he needs to, but he was like, I make wine and I use these grapes to make skincare now too. And it costs a lot of money.
You're hitting me with at different angles here.
Sorry.
What's the way my mind works. What's the wine thing about? What's going on? He has a wine.
He also has wine. Yeah. He makes wine. He's a winery.
I can't hate on that because maybe that's like a...
That's cool.
A vintage choice.
He has a winery in France. Yeah. I mean,
okay,
that's fine.
If he's a wine man. I thought more he was a beer man, but he's a wine man.
He's a wine man.
Why the skin?
I don't know. He just decided.
Is it lotion?
What is it? It's moisturizer and different things you put on your face.
Now, is it quality? Is there fragrances in it or alcohol products?
Supposedly,
in it?
It's the grapes from the same grapes that he uses.
That he uses at his winery?
At his winery. And that these grapes are like really good for
keep
the
going
skin and very like youthful, like they've been scientifically proven
good
for the skin.
Can you explain why?
I can't explain
is
why.
Is it from the actual grapes?
It's from the actual grapes themselves. Like somehow proven.
I'm gonna
to
ask
work.
You one thing. Did they try to promote like antioxidants?
Probably.
I knew
and
it.
also not only that, but it's French.
Why? So he went to France to do this?
Yeah, he went to France to open up his winery, and then.
So what's French? His winery or his skincare
both.
Line? I don't know about that. I wish he wouldn't have. I wish he would have brought that up because I admire his work throughout the years. He's been around for a long time.
He has.
Remember him in True Romance? He was great as the stoner guy on the couch.
Oh, he was wonderful.
I loved him in that.
I love him too.
But then
it's like, why the skincare line? I'm just a little offended, I guess, because I'm French. So for me, it's like,
oh, right.
So we're going to France to make a winery, and then you're going to make your skincare line with these French grapes, and that means because it's French.
Well,
because
he could do that.
Yeah.
He was great. Remember that movie, A Burn After Reading?
Yes.
He as the gym
comedic
guy, the gym rat guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God! There was some comedic choices he did in that movie that were phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors. I didn't think we were gonna bring up this was gonna be a talking point, Brad Pitt, but since cause we're talking about cinema,
yeah,
he's one of those guys that he's been around longer than we you know, then you realize, like, oh, he's been around a long time. But going back to Interview with the Vampire, I like the story.
I love the story. I've Christian even read Slater. The book, too. Yes, Christian Slater.
What happened to him? I haven't seen him in anything in decades.
Oh, I don't. I don't know. The last
True Romance was a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, that's true. He was in Mr. Robot. And
when was that released?
Yeah, it's been a while now, but.
Okay. So we both agree. I don't know why you're so self-conscious about Interview with the Vampire. I enjoyed it too.
Okay. Yeah. I feel a little bit better about it because I'm a fan of the book too.
What about like the 30 Days of Night? Those ones. The ones. That one that took place. The storyline took place in Alaska. And,
yeah. I'm trying to remember that one. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen it, but I was like, I see sometimes these movies, and then it's like I watch one, and then I watch another one, and then I watch another one. And
give
I'm
me
watching,
one.
Like,
give me one more vampire one. And then
it was I Am Legend.
Whoa! But that's more zombie.
Yeah, it's more zombie.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I like that movie at the beginning. You know, him and his dog. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. But then maybe halfway through when I actually saw the zombies, too much CGI.
Yeah. Well, that was that time in which they were like, CGI. We have CGI technology now. Let's use it on everything.
I like the old school.
Yeah.
Just do makeup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Since you brought up that, what are some of the other zombie ones that stand out?
Well, World War Z. But that's another Brad Pitt movie.
Can I be honest with you? I haven't seen that one.
Okay. It's fine.
Was it good?
It's okay. It's okay. But the reason I watched it again is because of Brad Pitt. So
I mean, he's a heartthrob.
Yeah.
A heartthrob. I mean, just undeniable. His face is so chiseled. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. That's true. What about the 28 Days Later, the 28 Weeks Later, those ones?
I think I saw 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I watched any of the others. Uh-huh. Like 28 Weeks Later, I don't think I watched that one.
Okay. And so what about... haunting movies or the because I'm in the demonic I like that stuff, the demonic possession movies, like, and I don't think you could get much better than The Exorcist.
I agree.
And if they remake that, oh my
God. Yeah, they're movies that they should never touch.
Don't touch
remaking.
It. They remade Omen.
Yeah, I know that.
Why
was.
Why did they do that?
I know. It wasn't. There are times in which I decide to remake movies, and I'm just like, why are you doing it?
Because they're running out of let's be original here. Let's think of something.
Or just go. There's always books, new books coming out, so there's always material. You can always just pull from a book if you really needed to.
Yeah, but I kind of think of that the same way they're doing these comic book movies, these DC.
Oh, I don't mean comic books. I mean like actual books.
Oh,
like
I know what you're
literature.
Saying, but my point being is I'm trying to relate it to like they're kind of digging through these sources. And to the point where I don't care anymore. I mean, because they already went through the Spider-Mans, the Supermans, the Batmans. We've seen them. But then now they're like pulling out of characters that are like these, kind of like these other side cast.
Little one, the smaller ones. Not
I don't care. But I'm just, you know. But do you think they'll remake Poltergeist?
Oh, no, now that you said it,
I think they might.
They might.
Yeah, because they did remake. Let's just off top. Let's talk about the remakes. And they did. They remade Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
They did remade. They remade Omen. Mm. They remade Pet Sematary. What other ones? The Thing.
Oh, that's true. They also did.
They
a
redid
new
The Craft and The Thing.
Yeah.
Did they remake The Thing?
Yeah,
so there's quite a few. I mean, those are just off top. I'm sure there's more, right?
Yeah.
What are some movies that don't touch?
Oh, definitely don't touch Wishmaster. Please don't.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay. I love it.
Isn't that from the 70s?
It's or 80s, early 80s. Yeah. It's another one of those like really campy, like kind of horror.
Is it like Phantasm?
Like I guess it's I don't know what I would
The Changeling or something?
No, well it's one of those movies where if you make a wish something bad happens because you made
that
the
idea.
Wish.
So
but because of the time period, these movies are very campy and they're fun and you don't take them seriously. Kind of like you don't take Hellraiser seriously. So remaking that it would just be a disaster because they're gonna do exactly what they did with Hellraiser with Wishmaster and then
they are.
They would if they remade it. They would. I know they would.
Are they, oh, man, content. Do you think they'll touch like movies like what other like maybe like Rosemary's Baby?
Oh, now you keep saying these, they're going to do it. The more movies that putting it out there in the universe, and so who knows?
They probably would, because back then they didn't have CGI. So at the end of the movie, yeah, they can make the baby look hella demonic.
And, yeah, like, and they'll be like, "No, baby." Please. Yeah, it's like we already saw a demonic baby when we watched the Breaking Dawn Part Two.
Part One, Part Two.
It's like, please, we don't need to see another demonic child.
Yeah, why is it that the 70s they put out such good movies? Because they didn't, you know.
Because it was such an unhappy time.
Right.
Everybody was just miserable, yeah, and so everything when they made movies, it reflected that.
Yeah.
Even their like dramas and stuff, there's so many unhappy endings in their films because of what was going on at the time.
Now, are you interested in Asian horror?
I've watched a few Asian horror movies
or Asian cinema.
I like Asian cinema. I love Asian cinema.
Well, just off top, what stands out?
I'm trying to remember the name of it, but there's this one film that I watched and something cats. It's a Japanese film because I love the Japanese.
Are you into animation?
I love anime.
Really?
I love anime.
Like what anime kind of stands out?
I like Magical Girl anime.
I don't know what that is. Write that down.
Magical Girl anime is like Cardcaptor.
Is that like Sailor Moon?
Sailor Moon.
Oh, it's like Sailor Moon?
Yeah.
It's like Sailor Moon. I don't know why I know that. Yeah. I've seen the artwork. Yeah.
And then I also like all like the samurai anime. Like,
now, you've seen the older ones from the like Ninja Scroll?
That one I haven't seen, no.
Fist of the North Star?
I've heard of that.
Okay,
but I haven't
seen
it.
Yeah. And Akira?
Yeah.
Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah.
They made that into a
movie. No, I know they did.
And no. I just...
I avoided it. I didn't watch it. I don't plan on watching it. I don't want to watch it. Please. Like, there's
certain
films I'm
just
like...
I heard from the grapevine that they're just thinking about possibly making Akira into a movie in the near future. I mean, that's going to be difficult.
I wouldn't mind these becoming movies if they were made in Japan by Japanese cast, Japanese directors, because then you could have...
Because out here, they would hire a white guy and squint his eyes
and
be like, this is the main...
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they do that with like the last Avatar or Airbender?
Yes,
stuff
they did.
Like that?
They did.
Or they did one movie. Was it Doctor Strange where the original is an Asian?
Yes.
But then they hired the, what's that woman actress that's in everything?
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. Then, and I'm like, do that. And I don't like that.
I hate that.
That's like cultural appropriation.
It is.
Right? A little bit?
It is. And then also, I mean, personally, if it's a like an Asian man that's supposed to be cast in the film, please cast an Asian man because I love Asian men.
Yeah, like give me an example of that, like where, I mean, knowing Hollywood here, they'd probably be like, let's redo Enter the Dragon and replace Bruce Lee with someone else, like a white guy or something.
Or you know anyone else that's not Asian, to make it.
Some Persian guy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, dude, this is, I don't like where it's at right now, as far as we got to have every single race represented. Like, going back to the Hellraiser thing, it's like, dude, you don't have to...
Yeah.
Do it here. It's like, I know the original. Because the original one, I remember what she looked like. She was so scary to me, though, her look.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you think Koreans are on to something? I mean, because you mentioned Japanese, but there's some Korean
There's definitely a lot of good Korean films as well. Mm-hmm. Because I started off watching
Train
anime
to Busan.
Yeah, Train to Busan's really
good. That was a good horror
that
movie.
That is a very, very good horror movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. So if you haven't seen Train to Busan, I mean, that was a good one. I enjoyed that,
But I've also seen some Korean horror movies that are just bloody and gory and questionable endings. I can't remember the name of it, but there was a Korean horror film that I watched, and at the end, it's just this big, gigantic massacre at the end, and it's like really
what's the name
big.
Of it?
I can't remember it. Otherwise,
right,
if I remembered it, I wouldn't be spoiling it right now.
Now, why do you think that these, there's so many good Asian cinema coming out. Because I have my own opinion towards it because I've been out there. My brother did a Wonder Girls video back in the day. Do you remember the Wonder Girls?
I remember the Wonder Girls. I loved the Wonder Girls.
And he, you know, I tagged along and I saw their work day, and they don't stop.
No, they don't.
They do not. They literally work like 16 to 18 hours straight, and they had one meal, and it was like this, just like this huge thing of a kimchi jjigae that they, a cauldron of it, you know.
That also helps to keep them slim because they need to keep that figure.
Yeah, and so it's their work. Mm-hmm. It's their work ethic, I believe. Because, you know, I'm lazy, but I'm like an anomaly because I'm lazy as hell.
But I will
I'll do this and I'll lay down after when you guys leave. I'll lay down, maybe render the video. That's all I'm doing tonight. But continue.
But I will say that it's not necessarily healthy either to be a workaholic like that, because a lot of the like K-pop stars, they've really been mistreated by the industry, and some of them have come out saying that they've had like mental health issues,
suicide.
Yep.
And I know it's kind of a touchy subject, but I think that because they get so much recognition, fame, and all that, and when that goes away, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, and also the industry, they put so much pressure, like also like constricting the diets. They'll go on diets where they don't eat for 3 days just to maintain their figure, and they're working such long hours just to be able to accomplish what they need to accomplish. And
so we're talking about K-pop.
In K-pop, but it would extend to various industries as well, not just K-pop.
I actually met JYP briefly, and I was kind of picking his brain. And dude, they live in like dormitories and stuff.
Yes.
They like recruit and they, you know, they it's like they're groomed. It's like so not organic.
No.
The way even the music, there's nothing organic about it. It's like they construct this look, this image. Even the music's a bit generic as far as like this is what's popular. Mm-hmm. We got to have these sounds and this hook, and I doubt they even write their own lyrics at this point.
No, it's all of it's written, and then they pick the songs. Yeah.
So they have ghostwriters. They put them on these restricted diets. They're forced to sign this contract where mm-hmm. I don't even think, are they like all millionaires, like all these K-pop stars? Or so I feel like they have like crappy contracts or something.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm speculating at this point.
Actually,
I don't know.
I really don't know. I think it would depend on who they're signed with, because just like in the music industry here in the US, you have some record labels that are just sketchy. And you're going to have record labels over there that are sketchy and taking money as well. But
you're right. And that, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. That's taking place even like in America, the record labels. Like I know, remember that band, TLC? Mm-hmm. That's a prime example. They had hit songs, Waterfall, all these songs. And then they made millions and they didn't get paid out well. Their contract was that crappy.
Yep.
So I'm sure that just exists everywhere. Yeah. Right. But I'm saying going back to the in Asia, there's something really kind of weird about. I don't really understand it. Even their look is like almost like, I'm not against like hair and makeup, but it's just a bit kind of. They almost look too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that, because I know that they do
a lot of plastic surgery. Yes.
Right. And I've talked about this before, even in my mom's generation, they have a eye surgery called Sankopu. Mm-hmm. Sankopu. They cut their eyelids to make them more Americanized and rounder eyes.
The double eyelid surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they get eye surgery. So you agree?
Yeah, and though the double eyelid surgery, I think, is more to, especially with women, to look more youthful and young, that very sort of childlike demeanor.
So what does that have to do with your eye structure?
So it makes them look rounder and bigger, like that of an infant.
So if I were to just, let's say I had that kind of money, and I find a Beverly Hills eye doctor, and I do that, I would I look younger?
It supposedly would, yeah. More like a little boy. I don't know if you'd want to do that.
Well, why not? Why not? I'm getting older here.
No.
I'm getting older. I'm getting older.
But yeah, you don't need to look like a little boy. You're good.
So do you think they do nose operations as well?
They do. I don't know if they do as many, but they do. And they also do the jaw surgery as well.
There's a jaw one?
There is a jaw surgery, yes. And it's to make it look, especially for women, more angular, more triangular,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to if the jaw kind of protrudes out a little bit, it brings it in a little.
I mean, and they're depending on the surgeon, they can make a world of difference on their look.
Yes.
Okay, let's do the hypothetical here. What if a man decides to marry one of these women, and they have their offspring, and then when the baby gets a certain age, and it looks like you know, it doesn't look like, you know what I mean?
It'll look like a combination of how they both look.
But my point being, if she got so much surgery, that's not like indicative of her real gene, like her traits and everything.
Well, to be fair, the men probably also had a lot of plastic surgery as well. So
you're saying. Oh, hold up. So you're saying if both the man and the woman had, like, extreme plastic surgery, you're rolling the dice. Your kid's going to look like it.
It's going to look however
you look. All it comes out.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's okay, because for their high school graduation, you just give them plastic surgery.
So it's an endless cycle. So when they get older, they'll get plastic surgery.
Yes. And all is well.
And they'll look for a mate who has had plastic surgery. So they're just like, false kids of generation of falseness.
And plastic surgery will continue to get better and better and better. Yeah. So they will continue to look better and better and better.
I don't believe in that. I just own up to, like,
I know.
Like, if you have a double chin, just rock it.
Yeah.
If you have a little chubbier cheeks, rock that. At least you're being authentic to yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you agree with people doing that?
I feel like if it's their face, they can do what they want to do with it. For me, I have OCD. I would be
You saw what I did to my fridge. Threes.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So when did that start with you? Like, what kind of things do you do with it?
Oh, okay. So,
sorry. I mean, are you comfortable bringing?
Okay. Yes, I am comfortable bringing this.
People already know I have. Like,
So. I think for me, it started probably, and so maybe it's not OCD. It could be something like OCPD. It could be a number of things.
What's that?
OCPD is obsessive compulsive personality disorder. So
What are the differences?
Personality disorders are things that develop when you are under the age of 6.
Mm.
And so OCPD would be things that are based on your personality. And so you can't just control it with the same kind of therapy that you would be able to control OCD. Because OCD is just a disorder that you're either A, born with, or it comes about later on in life.
Through what? Different circumstances? Trauma?
Different circumstances like that, yeah.
Is there medications for both?
I don't think there's medication for OCPD.
But OCD there is.
For OCD there is.
And what kind of medication is it?
Usually it's anti-anxiety medication and
talk
therapy.
Does it really work? Do you think? Does it work?
I think that's it's the problem with OCD is it's so difficult because of the fact that it's a condition that is like intrusive thoughts. And so if you have...
Really?
Yeah, it's centered around like having different intrusive thoughts
and
things.
Outward behavior or something.
No, it can also be things like for example, for me, I will... I mentioned this with Mike Flanagan on the podcast that I'd done with him, but I've had it before where I'm driving and I'm like, I could just kill somebody right now. And I don't want to kill somebody, but I could. What if I did? And then I'm just like sitting there going, what if I kill somebody? What if I kill somebody? I'm driving super careful. It's nothing's wrong.
It's
yep. And it's just consistently going on and on and on and on in my head. And that's obsessive compulsive disorder. I also have this thing with symmetry. So when I was symmetry, meaning like you want things to be even. You want things to be perfectly symmetrical.
And this has to do with making you use it like your apartment or something.
It could be your apartment. It could be like if you're making artwork. It could be like you want things to be aligned and symmetrical.
Like a triangular or
like a
kind of boxy or like a.
So it depends. Like
I think I don't know if I'm thinking of it correctly. I'm thinking when I think of symmetry, I think of like maybe a pyramid or something or no.
A pyramid could be symmetrical.
Because like an airplane or something like that.
So, yeah, like if you were to split an airplane in half and the two parts match.
Oh, it has to match.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think I might have. I have that my own way.
Yeah. So for me, that started probably when I was like, I'd say 8 years old.
Why did you keep looking at your own? What's going on there? Because so I know that was the second time I see you
do that. You're not going to see this on camera, but I have a fold mark that is on my arm right here.
I saw it. It's right there.
And I also have one that's over here. But I used to only have one fold mark one of the arms.
You created
so one? When I was little, when I was 8 years old, I continuously folded the other arm so that it would be completely even because it had to be symmetrical.
Dude.
That's how horrible my OCD is.
Now, how did you manage to do that?
I don't know. I spent so much time just folding the skin and folding the skin.
Now, is it something like this where you kind of...
No, I pinched it. So what I did is I pinched the skin and I just held it and held it and held it.
Let me see that one again.
And now I have no idea which one.
Yeah, there's one right there and one right there.
Yeah, and I don't know which one it is that I was born with. I was born with one of them and the other one I created.
You know what? I can't judge it. Can I tell you something that I didn't like in middle school? So before my wrestling matches, I got so nervous because it's nerve-wracking. You're about to go into a combat thing and this guy could slam you. So before my matches, I would bite my thumbs like obsessively.
Yeah.
Where both of these thumbs were like warts. And not only that, so I would bite my thumbs and then I would smell them. Is the pooey saliva smell transferred onto my thumb skin that comforted me.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
I don't think that's weird. That could actually be what's called stimming.
What? Is that a real term?
So, yes.
Write that down. So, this is great. Write that down. Stimming.
So stimming is a self-stimulatory thing that one does.
Yeah.
And it has to do with your different senses. So for me, I have what's called like tactile stimming, where I have to touch certain fabrics because for me, it gives me a sense of relaxation. So for you...
What does that have to do with my thumbs?
So for you, it could be also a tactile sensation. It could have been that you liked the way your thumb felt in your mouth and it gave
like
you...
Like a pacifier, like a baby
in like
pacifier.
Yeah, like a pacifier, yeah. So it gave you relaxation. And then the
It comforted
sniffing,
me.
Yeah.
Because when I did that... When the ref goes, it's your turn, get on the mat, I was ready to do it now.
Yep.
Because I did this.
And then the sniffing is also a sense, one of your senses. And so that's also like smelling things can also be part of stimming as well.
So would you say, let's come up with a definition. So it's something that it's an activity or some kind of thing that allows you to be comforted with these obsessive thoughts.
So it's more than just OCD. So anybody can stim. That's common. Anybody can stim. It's common with people who are neurodivergent. So especially people who are autistic or ADHD.
Yes.
But anybody can stim. Stimming is just something that anybody could do, and it has to do with like the different like senses, like your sense of smell, your sense of
that's
taste,
interesting.
Your sense
right.
of touch.
Can I give you an example? I was just in Pennsylvania, and my girlfriend brought me to a pumpkin farm, and they had a caramel apples. And so when we got to the hotel, she cut symmetrically. and I ate mine, and then I instantly start doing this. And she goes, oh my God, babe, that's, I think she said it was like, I don't know if it's stemming, but she's like, that's like, autistic people do that. Because I was like,
yeah,
you know,
it's
yeah,
stimming.
Yeah.
That's stimming.
That's so stimming. I couldn't control it.
Yeah. So just, if you get joy from that, if you like doing
But
that's
I jumped
stimming.
Up in like a robot, like kind of like,
yeah, it's stimming.
Yeah, I think she said that. Yeah. That's stimming.
That is stimming.
What? Because the joy of the caramel and the apple brought me so much joy.
So that brought you joy, but it's also that activity, the jumping up and down.
Yes.
That releases a lot of energy. It feels good
yes,
to you.
Yeah.
And so that jumping up and down is the stimming.
That's
a
the stimming.
Yeah. So if you do that whenever you're happy and content, that's stimming.
Maybe we should change the podcast to stimming.
The stimming podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, I even kind of surprised myself because I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I had that reaction, but she actually got it on camera. Like she actually caught me doing that because she wanted to get my reaction. But I did that uncontrollably. Yeah. So that's stimming.
That's stimming. Yeah.
Okay. Now you mentioned texture too. So what do you mean by that? Like you said, touching fabrics or blankets or clothes or something.
Yeah. So like there's certain fabrics that I really like. Like I love touching silks. I love touching like certain polyester fabrics and even velvet. Like I love that sensation.
Oh my God. Yes.
And so sometimes I'll just touch it and it just relaxes me because I love that sensation of touching it.
Can I confess something? And I don't think I've ever talked about this, but I remember as a kid, my mother's pantyhose, something about it calmed me down, and I would like touch it, and I was obsessed with the, you know what I'm saying? The
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about that fabric where it like calmed me down.
It could also be that like coarseness on it.
The smoothness of it. Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize. So, you've seen my other interviews
yes,
and content.
I have.
Now, can you? I know you're not. Are you fully? Are you like? You're not like full on psychiatrist or psychologist.
No, I am not.
But just from your opinion, do you think I have one of those things that we've mentioned? Either mild autism, OCD, ADHD. Like, do you?
So being somebody who is neurodivergent, and OCD falls under the neurodivergent like label, and I'm OCD. That's all I can say. Like that's the only thing that I've been diagnosed with, right? So I can't say if I'm anything else. And there is apparently something where neurodivergent people can recognize.
Neurodivergent
has nothing to do with the book Divergent.
like neurotransmitters.
Yes.
Right? Neurology.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so they say sometimes that people who are neurodivergent can recognize other people who are neurodivergent.
Keep going.
And so I can kind of recognize that, yes, you do have like OCD tendencies. And I can't label you as anything, but you probably are something.
I got something.
You probably have something, which is probably why we're conversing
well
right now.
I got something. There's something.
But that's not a bad thing. I say that as somebody who is neurodivergent. It's not a bad thing. I think that neurodivergent people are cool.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Really?
Yeah.
So that's nothing to be ashamed about.
No, it's nothing to be ashamed about. In fact, I think that neurodivergent people are just cooler in some ways. I mean, no offense to people that are, you know,
why would you say that? Why would you say that? Because they have their own little, it's a unique kind of traits?
It's unique kind of traits. And also, I think there's this thing called the double empathy problem. Where
this is a real term?
It's a real term, the double empathy.
Double empathy. We're going to wrap up here soon. Yeah.
And so
this is great. I didn't think you'd bring this up. I thought we were going to just talk about horror movies. But keep going.
It's a special interest of mine.
Mm-hmm. I think about it a lot, too.
Yeah.
There's stuff that I do in the shower that no person should know. When it has to do with, you know.
Yes, I know. I saw that podcast, too.
Well, my scrotum.
I saw that podcast.
Yeah. Dry. Yeah. Dry skin.
Yeah.
But I you know, it's getting better. Because people DM me mean things. They call me Frosty, and they just send the mean things to me. But the thing is, I've discovered CeraVe. It's, you know, I've been applying that on my skin, and it's been helping out.
Yeah.
Because I get dry here, it flakes on my nose.
Yep.
And then there's something, I don't know what it is. I've always had like dry skin problems. But my scrotum is a whole different story.
Yeah.
It's a whole different monster.
Yeah.
But there's an OCD thing. So you've heard about this. I've talked about this.
Yes.
What have you heard?
I'm not going to repeat it, but I did watch the podcast that you did on this. Yes.
Scissor Bros?
Yes.
The clinician.
I watched that podcast.
Okay. And so that's a ritual. It's a ritualistic thing that I do.
It could be.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that when it comes to having somebody on, right, to kind of answer these questions, you're really not going to know until you, like, sit down and have a conversation, because OCD and autism and ADHD can look alike in many ways. And so the questions that were asked, I'll just say that.
Go ahead.
I'll say that. I can
take it. Go ahead. Say it.
They're not enough to be able to really give an answer one way or the other.
No, if I accumulated that skin and put it in jars.
I mean, that could be something else entirely.
No, but it could. Yeah,
depends on what you're using the skin in the jars
for.
Just to have it?
Yeah, just to have it.
Because collection habits are not always OCD. If you like to collect certain things, that's not always OCD.
But that's such a specific thing to collect. Let your scrotum nuts. Yeah. I don't think anyone's done that do you think people have done that in
people have
in
done
life?
I think people have done that pretty much everything in life.
Want to see a documentary about that. How come I want to see a documentary on an old man in New York City, and then he paints, and then another thing he does is he collects his scrotum skin.
Well,
and then at the end of his life, they open up some safe and there's jars of just his nut skin, and that's cool.
You know, maybe if we can't get a documentary of it, we should get a movie.
Should
of
I
this.
Do that?
Yeah, make the movie. Make the movie happen. A short film.
About me doing that.
It doesn't have to be you. It can be another character.
We're going to end it soon, but this is one other fantasy I have. A purpose of doing that, in biology, getting a microscope and seeing if there's something going on, like where I could say, oh, there's like little critter organisms in there. You know, like there's a organism in there and it's got a tail, and that's why it's been like making the skin that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that, like a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I could see, and then I could hire a scientist or someone that could look under a microscope and really, you know, examine what's happening within the skin structure.
Yeah, and then you can always end it by having it so that little creature escapes.
Wait, hold on. Escapes the skin?
It escapes the skin, and it lands onto somebody else's skin.
So it's like COVID.
Yes. And it just passes.
Thanks for tuning in. Wait, hold up. Before we end it, that'd be a great way to end it. Let's plug... This beautiful collection that you've accumulated. And so where can people don't you have a
I have an Instagram too.
Yes, plug that.
All right, so my Instagram is Katie Video, and the website is katievideo.com, and that's Katie KADI Video.
And how can one purchase these?
So I have flash sales that occur. And so if you check the Instagram, you'll be able to figure out when those flash sales occur so that you can snag a copy.
How many VHS do you have to do you offer for purchase?
So it's a small number. It's a limited number of VHS, just because of the fact that even though I'm kind of found some places where I can get brand new VHS, not like brand new as in still being manufactured, but still sealed, brand new old VHS. It just means that the quantities are kind of limited per release, but I do try to re-release as often as I can.
I'm asking you just one request. You gotta do The Exorcist. You gotta make one of the, you gotta do an Exorcist tape. You got it. Will you think about it?
I mean, I will. I'll think about it and get your sleep.
That would be amazing.
I will definitely think about that.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that would sell like hotcakes. I mean, that's just such a great, great, great movie.
Yeah.
Dude, so definitely follow her on Instagram, KADI Video.
Yes.
All right? There's no underscore or nothing.
No underscore.
KADI Video with a D and an I. Follow her today, and then when these sales happen, or just go on her site and purchase this stuff? How much for one tape?
So right now the prices are $35 and
for one, right?
For one, yeah.
Because they take so much effort to make.
They take so much effort, and also the VHS. They're the new old stock. New old stock meaning that they're brand new tapes, but they were manufactured quite a while ago because still trying to get VHS manufactured here in the U.S. again.
That's great. It's a coming back, I think.
I'm trying to make it happen.
Same thing, vinyl, you know, VHS, vinyl, cassette tapes. Yeah.
I'm trying to make that manufacturing happen.
Dude, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Hell yeah, that was awesome.